Oh, we didn't do like the heart thing for the.
I was trying. I thought it did the thing. Did it not do the? Does it not do that anymore? I was trying it earlier. We can do this one.
You guys are gonna glitch us out.
Nope.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know why.
Real love.
Why it's not working?
It just gives you a pearl mattress.
Do the.
Not oh, did we lose all our stuff?
I guess it's not on.
Oh well. Well, shit.
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are the head.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special Valentine's edition of the Hype Attack Podcast. We're coming off of a little break after season two. And so not quite season three yet, apparently. I was uninformed.
Literally.
Until now. I'm Doug. I'm here with Isaac, Rudy, and Jermaine.
What's up?
Good evening.
Per use. So for Valentine's Day, we thought it'd be fun to go through, you know, all the romances and the couples and the relationships within this nerd realm that we often talk about on the show. You might even say that's the theme of the show.
can we call them ships? Like the
I was, I was getting to that. The shipping
loosely in the nerd realm.
Yeah. So part of this whole thing it's kind of interesting right now because you have a like both ends of the spectrum. I think exist in the nerd realm right now, where I think there's a growing part of the population that doesn't want any of this relationship bullshit in their nerd stuff. Because, you know, nerds are supposed to be about action and blah, blah, blah. I think it's also been heightened because of the introduction of more LGBTQ relationships. People have started arguing like, oh, I don't want any of this stuff. Like, why does this matter? Why does their relationship matter? Like, we're just here to watch lasers and flying heroes. But then on the other end of that spectrum, we do have the shipping part of the nerd community where the second two characters look at each other for more than a second, people are shipping them together and making these fanfics couples and stuff for like that. The intricate
depth of some of these fanfics, I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, they take that stuff seriously. Like I've been in Comic-Con panels where like the shippers try to get any sort of confirmation from the writers.
Yeah.
Or the directors, you know, or the actors in the movies or whatever, like, oh, are so-and-so together? And they're like, no. And then, like, then the building's on fire. It's insane. So, you know, obviously. Yeah.
It's a hell of a spectrum there.
Obviously, there's, like, a happy medium in the middle where, like, I think some of these stories, it works really well to have the relationship be a part of the story or part of the character. Obviously, that's what makes a character more fleshed out, because having relationships is something that people do. Unless you're ace. Shout out.
Asexual?
Yes. Sorry, the ace.
I was sitting here trying to figure out who the fuck ace is.
Sorry.
Ventura?
Sorry. That said, though, I mean, for me personally, I think that some of the better stories, as you know, in comic books, that's kind of the nerd realm that I really like. I think the characters that have secret identities or the secret identities still play into their stories. I think that those are the characters to me that have the couples or the relationship that can be a really good part of the story. So I know you guys brought a list of couples you were going to talk about. Do you have any within those?
We should just start with the most legendary couple, the Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
Mm,
yeah. Especially when it comes to like,
I didn't bother writing it down.
Being part of Spider-Man's identity is his, like, trying to juggle his life and his relationships. But that one's like, anytime you even like nerd couples, like Peter Parker and Mary Jane, like that first one that always comes up.
Somebody pointed out though, Diamore, I'm sorry. No. Somebody had pointed out recently, like specifically MJ and Peter in the movies, the Sam Raimi movies, where she sucks. She's very shitty. She's like, oh my God, Peter, you didn't come see my play? Everyone else did. And he's like, I was saving people. Like, what? Or I think at the time, you know, she didn't know. But wait, still. Oh, that piece of shit.
Yeah, but that's the tragedy of his life. That he's always doing something to, you know, save people, whatever the case may be. And because of that, his love life gets infected by all this nonsense.
And to that, we were talking about this before. I just started watching the animated Spider-Man movie, show. I forget what the hell it's called. For Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man on Disney Plus. And I guess the older I get, you know, he's like, oh no, a siren. Let me go dismantle my life and disrupt it to go, you know, the cops are handling it pretty well. And then he, you know, intervenes kind of. It's like, dude, just let them do their thing. Handle your stuff. You're fucking your life up, man. You don't have to save everybody. Just let them. That's all I have to say about that. Sorry. That, I mean, that, sorry, that's, I have like, no, that's end to that. That not, was just not to frustrated
go,
me.
Not to go on a tangent, but I think that is like an interesting or something that they could cover in a comic or a story or a comic, cartoon or something like that would be finding that balance. And they've touched on that. Obviously, being young, you know, he probably wants to go out and save all the world and stuff like that.
But it's why I didn't write MJ and Peter on my list, because I was thinking about it from like a real life perspective. And I go, I mean,
he's doing it to himself.
Yeah. Other than them balancing, you're like, oh, my God, will they, won't they? You're like, yeah, but then they're together. And then what, are they cool together? Do they find out like they're really not compatible?
Well,
you know, the whole happily ever after shit.
Well, I think in the comics, they eventually like they got together and like, didn't they get married? But then eventually something happened and she didn't exist, or he didn't exist, or something like that. Like, they always kind of do go that route.
So they unmasked him.
I'm single again.
He unmasked himself as part of, I think, the Civil War storyline, where the superhero registration stuff. He unmasked himself, and then like all hell breaks loose. I think his aunt May actually got shot by a sniper during the whole time, and like, he went dark, and it was a whole thing. And then Mephisto, the devil of the Marvel universe, came to him, and he made a deal with him like to reset his unmasking. But the price was his relationship with Mary Jane.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, they didn't know each other. Like, they were like completely like separate on their paths, like the whole time. Like, and I don't know, I haven't read any of the later comics, so I don't know how they, because I know that she's still in the story somewhere, but she's married to some other person, but okay. He's like cool with them. Like, it's weird. It's weird. The last time I even checked into it, like, there's like some like throuple thing going on.
Oh, interesting.
But it's super weird. But like, everyone was up in arms about that, like the Mary Jane thing. So
yeah, I mean, on the other the other end of that would be Superman and, or Clark Kent and Lois.
Yeah, the legendary
couple. Yeah,
the most boring couple.
I have to say, when you said legendary couple, I was ready to be like, Clark Kent and Lois. You were like, Spider-Man and Mary Jane. It's like, fuck off.
But go on. Like, tell us why.
Well, so they obviously kind of went through the same thing. I mean, all those early Superman comics was that whole, is Lois Lane going to find out he's Superman and stuff? Which, you know, and I've talked about this before, like the difference between a comic that comes out every month versus the occasional movie we get, where the comics can explore more of this stuff. Movies have done a decent job with it. But, you know, they went through decades of that Lois and Clark. Are they going to get together? Is she going to find out? And then at some point, they were just like, yeah, she finds out they're together. They get married. And I think for the most part, DC has handled that pretty well. And I think it helps that the fact that Lois Lane is a strong reporter. She has her own stories. I mean, she could like generally have her own comic book if she wanted to. And now, of course, they've given her superpowers and she's like Superwoman and stuff like that in the comics. So they've done plenty with that couple. But that they work, I think, as far as storytelling goes, because she is a reporter, like she's off getting in trouble. We've seen it with like Zack Snyder's, you know, movies where like she goes off and she gets kidnapped. And then of course, Superman has to drop what he's doing to go save her. And
well, I like how their relationship and dynamic is played out in the CW Superman and Lois. I mean, I don't know how many seasons it was, but the show ended. Have you kept up with it? And like the way they play with their relationship feels a little bit more grounded.
Yeah. It was a good series. It's definitely a modern take on the characters, mm-hmm. but like real world things that happened with their family, you know, their kids and even spoiler if you haven't seen it, but Lois eventually gets cancer. So they got to deal with the dynamic stuff, you know, the in-home stuff, but then they also have to deal with, you know, their real world stuff, yeah. you know, like what she does for her job. And of course, because he's Superman, and the dynamic is good because it does get to a point because they have a question. Well, the family has to deal with, you know, Superman's, you know, secret. But of course he has kids, and then it gets to a point where they all have like a legit family discussion mm-hmm. on, you know, if I out myself, because the kids eventually get power too,
yeah.
you know, but they're trying to, you know, navigate the way that their dad did, because, you know, he doesn't want the, you know, their secret identity out and all that stuff. So it's like, what do you do when your dad has this secret? But now we have to follow his footsteps, and it just shows, you know, that cool thing that they have to go through. You know, do we decide to keep it a secret, or do we move forward? And it's just one of those things that Lois and Clark, like their love that they have for each other, it just, you know, shines through in that show because of those type of things that they have to go through.
And I think that's the thing, because excuse me, sorry. So many people have talked about how Superman's a boring character to write. And if you're only focused on him being having literally every power there is and punching a robot or an alien every month or every yeah. week at the episode's on or something like mm-hmm. that, then yeah, there's not much you can do. So part of what makes Superman such a fun character mm-hmm. to follow is that he does have this world outside of being Superman, yeah. whether it's his love life with Lois or his mm-hmm. friendship with Jimmy Olsen, or, you know, there's a lot going on. And I think that's maybe the thing that, as a whole, when we think about relationships in these kind of stories, it's like yeah. certain characters that have been told for so long, it, mm-hmm. it really helps humanize or just make you understand these characters more.
Yeah,
obviously, if you're just writing a short story about, I don't know, some ninja that's going to go kill people, like, maybe who fucking cares if they love someone or not. But for the most part, these long-running stories, I think it generally yeah. helps.
That's exactly it. I like the stories that play past the and happily ever after. It's like, how does that actually end up? Yeah, when they have kids. I love how Superman and Lois played with that. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, the couples I wrote down aren't in the realm of, like, the hard nerd stuff. And we'll go down that list later, but
just the flaccid nerd stuff.
Sorry.
Speaking of, let me get this out.
Go ahead.
I don't bring up Superman and Lois because all I can think of is that line in the Kevin Smith movie is he blows a load like a shotgun through her back. That's all I ever think about when I think about Superman and Lois. So
that's the post show talk of like which of these characters could actually
attack out the dark.
Yeah, which of them could actually bang.
Your friend has a real problem with superhero genitalia.
The only way you can bang normal chicks is with the kryptonite condom.
Yeah.
And that would kill him.
The Diddy parties in the DCU were crazy.
Oh, do you guys remember the
Jesus,
the ridiculousness?
What did that spark?
The boys?
With the Marvel Cinematic Universe oh. with Hulk and Black Widow.
Oh.
Like how everybody was like,
Yeah. That's a good example of something that just didn't need to be there.
I've seen the memes. The GIFs. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a crazy one.
I've seen the porn parodies. Move past it. Move on.
I've seen the GIFs. I don't know what a GIF is.
Oh, fuck off. Whatever. I really tomato, like I really randomize how I say potato. It like week yeah, to week. Yeah. So, like I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I just assume you're drawing like the Hulk with peanut butter or something.
Whatever.
Stupid. Me.
Not continuing this argument.
Go for it. All right. So what in your world of not so nerdy stuff?
As far as like favorite couples, I obviously I love Morticia and Gomez Adams. Like they're two people that like she's really gothy. He's just this yeah, but he's this guy who adores her for being her. Got a mia. And you know, he's like a very vibrant guy. Like that's you know, minus some like anxiety, mental health disorders, like me and my wife Alva are kind of that couple where she's totally the tall, pale, gothy chick. And I'm like, I love that you're just so dark and spooky and shit like that. You know, and I just get to get brought and brought into her world. I love that they have a family and they enjoy their kids and let them be. Like, that's my utmost favorite couple.
Yeah. And it's interesting because they're so, in a way, fantastical, but also so real and mm-hmm. so grounded. And they're so real with each other. Mm-hmm. That's a great, great couple.
Was anyone else bothered by the casting on the Wednesday show?
I thought
Luis Guzman.
Yeah, Luis Guzman was interesting. I think in the original, because it looks like they fashioned a lot of that show. I'm thinking of the movies, animated movies. Anyways, like the original cartoon strip, he was like a bigger guy, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what you're pulling from, but I wasn't. I mean, you got Raul Julia to go up against. It's tough.
Like, I saw him pop up on the screen. I'm like, ugh, this face. Looks like the Latino side of the moon. I'm like, geez.
Listen, Wednesday, I'm your dad. I don't know. I had his imitation of me.
But that's what makes, I guess, the love feel even more, like, stronger. If, you know, his face elicits that response and there's still love, then yeah. Right, it's a strong love.
I also wrote a couple down.
Also pumped out Jenna Ortega's Wednesday, so good on them.
If we maybe get around to like a little portion of what we're doing, like couples, popular couple, fictional couples that I hate.
Oh, we can get to that.
That everyone's like, oh my god! I'm like, oh god, okay.
Notebook.
Continue,
Jermaine.
I have. It's
into
it's,
the mic, son.
It's still in one of my like probably my top five favorite shows of all time, even though it's old school, but I just remember watching it being home from school. But I still love Lucy and Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricardo. Those episodes to me are like classics that still hold up to this day, like the
dude, yes,
the nonsense that they go through and just the dynamic between them, but just Lucy's kind of like ridiculous, like real world, like Looney Tunes ish of yeah. a life, and the things that she gets herself into, and just him and their dynamic between each other, like how they play off of each other. I've always looked at that show like they just, that chemistry is just there and it just flows in every episode performance that they do. It just magically works, and I just,
the show does surprisingly hold up too. Like sometimes clips will pop up and I'm like mm-hmm. fuck,
I used to watch the shit out of that show. Yeah. I'd have like later afternoon work shifts back in my youth. So, you know, flipping through the fucking TV around 9 o'clock when the cartoons are over. And like that shit went on. I just...
When I was a substitute teacher, any of the classrooms that had a TV, you know, and during my breaks or whatever, I turn it on. Usually I Love Lucy is on. I'd spend my day watching that. The next class would roll in, I'd just be like, whatever, I don't give a shit, you guys do what you want, we're watching this, finish the episode or whatever.
Didn't we argue one time? I think I was trying to argue, me and you were arguing that it was canon that Superman was in that world.
I think that's a general discussion. Yeah.
But then I think you managed to disprove that.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And Lucy saved Isaac, Star Trek, so.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
Yeah, we owe a lot to that, so.
A moment of silence for Lucille Ball. And a couples that we hate. No, yeah, did you have a
classic throwback?
Nice. Good pull.
That's a good one.
I have a frustrating one.
Nice.
Because they weren't really together, but they were, I guess.
So Sam and Diane from Cheers?
No. Battlestar Galactica. Starbuck and Apollo. Mm. Kara Thrace and Leah Dama. Mm. Their whole fucking, the whole run of that show.
I love that show.
God, it was so frustrating because they were like clearly they were into each other. It should have been a thing, and they just the writers kept them just getting right to that point. And like,
the stakes were so high in that story. It was such a, I mean, it was like literally five seasons of like survival and constantly moving. Like, I could kind of see them just not having the time to do it. Other than there was that lull when they were on that planet. I forgot who was on the planet and who was still on the ship. But
she, when they went back to their planet, for and they found survivors, like she ended up marrying one of the dudes that they brought back with them. So there was fucking there was time for relationships. He got married to one of the bridge crew.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I'm still upset about her because she was cute as fuck. And he just shat all over that relationship. And then like at the end, she didn't survive to the end. Like she self-deleted. Yeah. I was so upset over that storyline. I'm like, why? No, it doesn't make no sense. So dumb.
Man, that was such a good show.
But the show was so good. Like, I still, like...
I need to rewatch that. It's streaming somewhere, right?
I believe so now. Yeah, it is.
Oh, fuck. I have today to watch the first three seasons of Expanse. I don't know if I can do it.
You have today? What is that?
Speaking of sci-fi, I think I think Prime is deleting the first three seasons of Expanse, like, literally tomorrow. And I meant to binge it all.
I thought Amazon was the home for that.
Yeah, except until tomorrow, the first three seasons are gone.
Where are they going?
Fucking the Aether,
shit.
Oblivion, literally into the Expanse.
I think I've watched like the first three seasons of that, like way back, and yeah, I don't remember like any of it.
I could probably watch a YouTube to catch up, and then because there's still what, like eight more after the first three. It's like 11 seasons or something.
That's upsetting.
I don't know. I blame myself. Sidetracking.
You know, and
what this whole show is about.
Going back in the sci-fi realm, as far as like couples that were strong and different, Han and Leia.
I didn't even write that one down.
Why?
It's just...
Tell me, Rudy. Just, who hurt you?
It's just whatever.
She's not here. She's out of the house.
It's just there.
It's a, yeah, it's a fine relationship, but it wasn't... There was no spark, no heat, no energy.
I felt like
no fire. It must pop, pop, pop.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jermaine.
Yeah, I felt like it was there just because stories at that time expected to have some sort of... But what's interesting about that... So I thought about that a little bit. And
easily defeated.
What's interesting about that is in the original trilogy, they had their thing. It was very kind of typical. And, you know, it was that awesome, I love you, I know, perfect, right? Super great. But then what happened after the movies with the old legend or the old EU, which is now Legends, or even the new canonical stuff where, like, they went on and had kids that went on and did things. So that's kind of the fun of these expanded universes or just – the universe as a whole, where you can kind of have this initial introduction and kind of like meh, but then you can see where that relationship went and how that relationship altered the course of that, the history.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you look at the new canonical stuff, obviously, like they went on ahead, Kylo Ren, which helped like the First Order come back, you know? So like their relationship in the original trilogy was like, meh, a little bit like kind of cool. I think the fandom has romanticized their relationship more than maybe what it should be. But in story wise, it's obviously had a major, major effect.
They're
on
sweet old people together.
The legends stories about them, the EU expanded universe, their relationship is so fleshed out in that thing. It's beautiful.
And they had twins in those stories, right? Yeah.
They had twins and then another son. But just the way their stories rolled out into that feature, and then when we got the movies, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to set that couple aside and just not think about it because it upsets me. One of the things that legitimately upsets me about the new Star Wars sequels was their relationship and how they just like, oh, we had a son and then we sent him to Luke and then he lost him and then we just didn't talk to each other for like a cool 10 years, however long the absence was, because neither of them can handle his fall or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool, sure.
Yeah.
But that's real. That's a real couple. And
even before that, like, Leia went off to train with Luke, so who knows how much they were even together before then, yeah.
Whatever.
They love persevering.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Another good one?
Sure.
Samwise and Frodo.
Oh, man, what a couple.
That relationship, holy shit.
Yeah.
That fucking look that Sam gives Frodo at that in Return of the King. Jesus, I have never seen.
No, I mean, here's the fucking quote. They might not.
I don't remember the whole thing verbatim.
Before he drops a brick on his chest,
he just flat out bricks in his mouth.
They might not be some nerd throw up. Like a couple, but man, that's love.
Yeah, that fucking that's bromance so was, love. Was yeah. Like holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Like
it's like envious, right?
Yeah,
like I want that.
I want someone to carry me into fucking into Mount Doom.
Yeah, you guys would drop my heavy ass so quick.
I hit you with them tree trunk arrows like Boromir in that fucking movie. Like, foom, foom, foom. All right, let's go.
Man.
I got the ring.
You know, along those lines, the bromance that's awesome, Jay and Silent Bob.
Mm. Totally.
Yeah, hetero life mates. Hetero life mates. Yeah.
Snooch to the nooch.
Yeah, snoochy boochies. I was always jealous of those two. I don't know. I have like a romantic idea of hanging out in front of liquor stores and not doing fucking shit with my life. Love it. That's probably why I go to 7-Eleven all the time and why I have high cholesterol now. That the two pieces and a Coke for $5. I'm telling you guys, they got that Philly cheesesteak pizza now. Yeah, fuck your arteries. It's worth it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Side note: if I pack a fucking trench coat, will you take a picture of me outside of 7-Eleven in Japan? Fucking Jane Silent Bob style.
You got a blonde wig?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's you got go. A blonde wig?
Yeah. And then that. I could yell like, yo, baby, have you ever your asshole licked by a fat man in an overcoat?
I will fucking translate that shit into Japanese so we can fucking do it.
Just yell it into our phone. I need the whole, you know, motherfucker, I need the whole thing.
Better,
yeah, yeah.
No, you guys better have that phrase already memorized before you guys even land.
When season three drops, I will have that fucking memorized and that'll be a fucking a sound drop in the
perfect
in Japanese. Perfect enunciation.
Perfect.
And I'm going to bring my trench coat and I'm going to be naked underneath.
Just for fucks.
Because I'm just having my chapstick.
That's what you call it? What's in your lips? In the nerdverse is really, the nerd fandom is really weird. Supernatural, yeah.
Exhibit A
in the show Supernatural, the Winchester brothers, Sam and Dean, people like want them.
Oh, they shipped them
to but they're brothers, but they want them to be
it's
more
gross.
Than brothers.
But
we call that the Alabama shipping.
And as gross as that is, I want to see it.
Did you see the other one that came out of that show, Dean and Castiel?
Oh, that's the one too. Yeah.
Apparently the.
Yeah,
he was like they didn't make a secret of it. Like he loved him.
Cass was so in love. Cass went like literally fought through heaven and hell and purgatory.
But he died twice because, for him.
Yeah, I mean, but Dean is so I get it.
What's the actor's name? I forget.
Ackles, Jensen Ackles.
Jensen Ackles. Yeah,
yeah. Or then Dean.
I mean,
Misha Collins.
I get it. Guy. Yeah.
Soldier Boy.
Misha Collins is Castiel.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck is Sam?
Jared Padalecki.
There you go.
What's a Padalecki? Sorry, I've watched the entire show.
I just remember watching like 5 minutes of it after Smallville and being like, okay.
First couple seasons are good. Then it's like topping to the point where they have to topping. And then they have to fight God.
Yeah, it's too much.
So that shit went so far.
In the sci-fi realm, Rudy might be the only one I could talk to this one is Star Trek.
Let's go.
I'd say like Next Generation. They always like kind of, I feel like the TNG didn't go into relationships too much. Like Riker and Troy a little bit, Picard and Crusher, which we eventually learned in this like last season of Picard that they were a thing and they had a kid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But DS9 definitely got into Worf and Jadzia Dax.
I didn't like that. I did.
Even though that Jadzia, so Jadzia is a Trill, which Trill is a symbiote life that goes through different things. So at one point, she was in a Klingon body. So I think that gave Worf and her that little like kind of Klingon connection, but you were never a fan of it.
It just seemed like let's throw a relationship at Worf just cause like, it never seemed like it was like an organic, like, oh, let me wax that ass Klingon style.
I missed like, you guys.
Yeah.
It didn't seem natural. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I can say.
But
then they took her away.
Three. Yes. So that was kind of the interesting thing that at least allowed the exploration of the Trill is that when Jadzia died, but then Dax, the Trill came back as Ezra Dax. you know, it was kind of that whole, like, technically it's the same symbiote, but it's a different person. So, like, I think they even had that conversation of, like, we were literally married, right?
Yeah, because he wasn't about the new one, right? And he was like, oh, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not my wife. Like, she died.
Yeah, even though the symbiote and, like, the life experience was there within Ezra, it wasn't Jadzia and stuff like that. So it was at least an interesting sci-fi exploration of, yeah, like, the whole idea, yeah, of symbiote life and that. But Ezra went on in the comics to, like, captain, like, a pretty good ship or something like that. I kind of went, I wish I read more in that.
I was looking up these relationships, and I didn't realize, I guess I didn't finish Voyager, because 7 of 9 and Chakotay were a thing.
Really? Oh, yeah, I think,
like,
so.
Like, I read about that. I'm like, really?
Huh.
I'm like, okay, cool.
I freaking watched the shit out of Voyager.
Voyager's
like,
good.
I like Voyager, but I just never, like, finished, like, the whole run.
Yeah, I was just watching this video on how Voyager led to Obama becoming president.
That is a leap.
No, so it's awesome. Because
here, I'm out.
Tell me.
The first couple seasons of Voyager were lacking, mm-hmm, and so they brought on Jerry Ryan is 7 of 9 to spice it up with, you know, some big titted blonde in a jumpsuit. Mm. She was married to some senator, I forget. And
Mitch McConnell.
No.
Did you hear the question, Senator?
She was on set so much that it was kind of upsetting him. What's and then, like, so he started drinking, Jerry Ryan. So he started, like, drinking and doing all sorts of shit, whatever. Like, he ended up getting in some scandal stuff. Mm-hmm. So he had to resign, and there was a special election.
Oh,
it was a special election. And it was Obama. Yeah, it was Obama coming in. And so he won by a landslide, which obviously led to him becoming the president because he was, like, the big star. But essentially, if she hadn't taken that role on Voyager, meaning, you know, if Voyager wasn't lacking in those first two seasons and they wanted to bring her on, he probably wouldn't have never had that the outburst. And we might not have ever had President Obama.
What a fucking Easter egg.
So you're telling
That's
me.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Lucy helped
Barack Obama. If we want to go really way back, like, Lucy saved Star Trek.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon here. Let's go.
Yeah, the algorithm's been showing me so many fun, like, Star Trek things, like The Wrath of Khan. I think I sent this to you guys, how The Wrath of Khan was the first movie to use, like, a full 3D animation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
But that was George Lucas's company, and then he realized he didn't want to do that, so he sold it to Steve Jobs, and that eventually became Pixar.
Crazy.
Like, so wild.
Crazy, her husband's name was Jack Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not the Jack Ryan.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Love his Jack Ryan.
So, I do like couples that kind of, like, are going through the same thing that makes it challenging, like Trinity and Neo, like, how, you know, they exist, but they know like they know everything, you know, about what's going on. So you have that risk factor. Another example that I like is the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith show.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw them.
They're really together? They're really together?
Oh, what? In, like,
real life.
Oh, I don't know if they're really together. But it's one of the things that I've always loved about the X-Men, you know, is, like, when you have somebody fighting along your side, that just adds a little bit more to, you know, like, their love story. And it just brings so much. So when things, you know, happen, like, it's one of those things, you know, like, man, what's the example that I can use? Yeah, I'll go back to X-Men. When they're in the field, you know, it's like you're worried about what's going on, but then at the same time, your peripheral is still connected to that person because you want to protect them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I just think those type of, like, love stories within, you know, like a character's journey and evolution, to me, that just adds a lot.
I think from the audience point of view too, it kind of helps because sometimes, especially these grandiose comic book movies or stories where they're trying to save the galaxy from whatever thingamajig, to have those moments where that character is looking over at their love while they're in that battle together, it kind of makes it a little bit easier maybe for the audience to like feel the danger of that situation or the importance of that situation. Cause it, you know, especially in the movies when it's just fucking colors flying around, CG colors, it's kind of nice to have that moment of like, oh my God, they might lose their love, which is a little bit easier to connect to than whatever Doctor Strange mirror thing shattering, whatever, you know.
God damn it, Doug. I hate when you say that. The colors thing, because I have to fucking edit the colors flying around you every
time. Just look up, that X-Men movie with what's her name as the Phoenix, and it was like 20 minutes of colors flying around. It was
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner, yes.
As, was it her or was it the first one?
No.
Funky Jensen.
The one with Sophie Turner as Phoenix. Oh, okay. Like towards the end, it was just like her standing there, like.
Yeah, it really was.
And then just colors.
Can't wait to see the edit.
There we go. Edit this one. Perfect.
Anyone have any like controversial ones?
Controversial as in like
relationship.
Everyone. No. Yeah. But as in like people love them and I don't.
Because of the nature of the relationship.
Yeah. Like who shouldn't have been in a relationship?
Joker. Harley
Quinn. Yeah. That was the obvious one. That's the one at the top of my list.
Yeah,
in the nerd realm, sure, and we get a cool show and a movie out of it. Mm-hmm. I love their breakup. The breakup's more fun than being together. Yeah, like in the non-nerd realm,
like he treated her like fucking shit. I'm sorry, I haven't been cussing the whole time.
Yeah, we've actually been really
my
good.
My goodness,
we've got some ass and like one shit.
That one I had to break out the
F-bombs. No, for sure,
ass waxing in there.
because that relationship was trash.
Yeah.
But enjoyable trash.
I think
like do you know real couples like that and it's just enjoyable to fucking watch them?
No, because I was gonna say toxicity, that's not a word. Toxicness like that, like I can't be around.
Yeah.
I said from a distance. look.
Anyway, you had one though, so give me yours.
Oh, mine's not in the nerd realm. You had more.
I was gonna say like I've known some like tweakers that almost feel like watching Joker and Harley Quinn.
That's what I'm saying. It's so fun. Not nerd around the Notebook. Allie and Noah.
You know I've never seen that.
It's okay. It's just imagine like if
what do you what?
Imagine if Harley Quinn and the Joker weren't diabolical villains, but they keep separating and coming back. Like you guys aren't good for each other. Couples, that's not how it's supposed to work. But our love perseveres. Our toxicity. Garbage.
Oh, but they die together in the bed at the end.
Fucking spoilers.
He kills her. He smothers her.
Now I want to watch it. That's what's his name? Hottie McCott, right?
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
And Rachel McAdams?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. That, so he smothers her, huh?
That scene where he's yelling at her, like, what do you want? I've sent that to Rachel, like, we're trying to figure out dinner.
Oh, that's perfect. What do you want? Texting you now about it, right?
What do you want? Yeah.
Perfect. That movie created a universal meme.
Yeah, you don't know relationships until you're arguing about what the fuck to eat. That's how you know you're in a good relationship, by the way. It's just, you know, you don't have really any big arguments other than, we had Chipotle the other day, you know.
But,
sorry.
I will say, those couples that were together and then something like horrifying or traumatic happens where they separate, but now they're like gritty enemies. I do kind of like those love stories too. It's not the greatest example, but I love Quentin Tarantino, Kill Bill. Like it's just
nice. One of those,
Bill like, and Beatrix.
It just shows, you know, kind of like the.
That is a pretty good example.
That's a great example.
Like a psychotic, you know, craziness of like a dark edge of relationship.
Yeah. If I can't have you, no one will.
And that's to me, that's the dark twistedness of that story. That's the cold-blooded and just how he went about doing it.
What about her line to him in volume 2 when, you know, they're having their last talk before the final battle. And she says, I knew you were capable of doing those things, but I never thought that you could or would do that to me. Mm-hmm. Bitch. Come on, dude.
Yeah, like toxic. Yeah, that's one of those that I was like, damn.
It's a great pull.
You
in my head, you know, Joker is that batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. But Bill is
that cold as ice.
Yeah.
He's his shadow.
Psycho, yeah.
Like
he walked the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's David Carradine.
You know what I love about Kill Bill?
Everything.
Yeah, but Michael Madsen's character, his brother.
Yeah.
Just like when
Buck. No, it's not Buck.
When they're trying to like justify what he did, what they did to her, and he was like, you broke my brother's heart. Like mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. that so always twisted. That always sticks in my head. Like really? Jesus.
But there are
but it's so cool.
There are people, you know, like that. And even in comics, you know, I've, you know, read certain things and
Doug.
You saw it in The Last of Us. No. No, not Doug. I was
thinking
The Last of Us.
No,
I didn't. Sorry.
So you just played The Last of Us, you
two.
Know,
two, yeah. But oh yeah. God damn.
I can't say much, but it's just one of those like that like tragic kind of like love story that just happens and just because of this now this happened. Those are the type of stories that I mess with heavy. Cause I just like to see characters just driven to that edge of just, you know, that like that brink of just madness because, you know, that grief just weighs on them and they can't get over that.
Love in a relationship or even love for friends, I think can be just such a driving factor for people in real life, but then obviously for characters in a show. Mm-hmm. And so again, all these, the people that, you know, argue that there shouldn't be any of that relationship stuff or love in these stories mm-hmm. are fucking. Oh, I dropped the first one. Nope. Bleep it.
Wow.
I dropped one. That's your first. That's
are all. Freaking stupid. Because obviously, you know, I mean, granted, in today's world of people just liking 30-second clips of lightsaber fighting and saying that it's the best Star Wars ever, it's like, no, you got to have a story. You got to have characters. You got to have lives in these characters. What?
No, I was thinking. I'm so sorry that I laughed out loud.
You come with a challenge like that, you better have something good to be laughing about.
Jermaine and I saw middle a video a recently where these two nerds are arguing about lightsaber battles, and one is like, you just were saying that there needed to be that choreography told a fucking story. Random thing. I didn't think you'd acknowledge that's my fine. Laugh.
We're going to do another, we're going to do a full episode on lightsaber duels, I think. I think we can totally work that out.
Do you remember the video?
Oh, yeah. That shit was comedy.
Kent.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Can I throw an annoying one out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you say Isaac and Alva, I'll hit you.
Hermione Granger and Ronald Weasley.
Yeah.
The most annoying, couple in a story ever.
Oh no! I'm pregnant, Ron.
Wait, I fell asleep through most of those movies. Did that happen?
Let me go, stop. Yeah. No, stop. Yeah. Stop. Oh, God, I'm sorry. But that. It just the way it progressed through the books and then even through the movies too, it just felt so weird. Like there was more chemistry between Harry and Hermione than I think there was between the other two. And I think the only reason they got together was because Harry had another path that the writer, what's her name, J.K. wanted to see him, so that it could, well. If that's happening, then let's just put these two together. And like, it's supposed to be a slow burden, but it just comes off as like the typical, like, oh, I like you, pull your hair and like run. Oh, I hate you, but I secretly love you. Like, it was just annoying to me.
I remember like
Bill Harry met Sally kind of thing.
I remember feeling like it was kind of cool that the main character didn't get the obvious choice. And I mean, maybe that was kind of the thing where it's like, you don't have to be the hero necessarily to get the girl. Even I mean, you could argue that they were all heroes. They all did things in those things. Things in those things.
It's really good.
Great commentary.
Another edition of Doug summarizes Harry Potter.
We got a good clip right there.
So this dude's like, Cabadabra dies.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I did remember thinking it was kind of cool that the main character didn't get the girl.
That would have been like a great, you know, thing to hang that on. But just the building of the relationship was just.
Yeah.
Well, as far as like,
yeah, it didn't fit right.
As far as a lead getting like the hot girl was Floor, wasn't she? She was like the only really like quote unquote, you know, it girl, hot girl.
In the books? One? Yes. Yeah. In the movies?
Floor Delore or something like that.
Which Floor Delacour.
Delacour.
The blonde one, the Asian one, who are we talking about?
One of the visiting. She's actually the Asian one. The Asian one of the visiting schools that had like the all girls.
Oh, yeah.
and it was. It's the corniest thing ever, too, in the movies, because they come in and they're like, because like all the schools that are meeting for this Wizard Cup thing come in, and like the super Ukrainian school comes in and yeah, they're all doing flips and like hitting their bow staffs and like ho ho, and then
my name is Krum.
The French girls come in and they're like, they were walking down the aisle and they're like,
oh, yes, I remember the scene. Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I almost turned off the movie the first time I watched this shit. I was like, okay.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stereotypes.
I want you two fucking idiots just summarizing these fucking movies.
I'll rewatch all of them so we can.
So,
well, dumb. We know what we're doing for season 3.
Yeah. This is run through all 12 movies. What's it, 12? Feels like
12. Shit, it feels like 12.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would say, like, that whole setting of Harry Potter, you feel like there would be all sorts of relationships and banging. I mean, it's a school.
They touch on that in the books that, you know, there's, yeah, the Marauders map, there's like feet literally like,
oh yeah, you can see that in the movie. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah,
like entangled.
Yeah, in the movie you can see like in the corner there's 2 feet like, yeah,
like locked in.
Wait, there was like a foot and a knee and then 2 knees, a couple hands,
and then there was a chair in the corner with just two.
Snape and who?
Snape and Quirrell. It looked like the Fifth Element scene with Ruby Riott, but he was in that.
Yeah,
the fucking legs. The legs.
But so you just finished The Fourth Wing, and I've read the first two books. I haven't got to the third one yet. But that's one thing I enjoyed about The Fourth Wing, because it was like that same kind of setup. They're older than the Harry Potter kids, mm-hmm, of course. But it's essentially college, but they're learning to be dragon riders. So it's like there's all sorts of banging and stuff happening. And it's like.
Like I was reading through it, and I got like maybe 3/4 of the way through it. And like, okay, they talk about sex or whatever. And yeah, then
you were like, Doug thought this was raunchy. And then you got
to it, right? And then I got to the part where the main character is like getting into it. And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. I'm like in bed under the covers reading this thing. And I'm like, I'm not a pervert. I'm just, this is a good story.
I was audiobook. I had to like just turn it off at red lights. Like I didn't even turn it down. I just turned it off because I don't want to be sitting at a red light. I don't remember if it was the first book or the second book where it was like, cover your ears, kids. Like licking clit over the panties and stuff like that. I don't need to be blasting that out of the red light.
Rachel thinks she turned away from you in bed and she thinks that you're crying. You know, he must come to a sad part.
Oh, you know,
wow.
What one kind of killed me that was in a TV series? It started off and I was like, okay, I can see this. I was like, oh, so he's going to pursue this person, and as the show went on,
motherfucker, don't keep me in suspense.
The How I Met Your Mother.
Oh yeah,
that shit got, because the whole time I was like, as I'm watching the series, I'm like, how are they not like together? And I get they had those moments in the beginning, you know, where they just pull the rug out under you, you know, like they literally kind of like squash the fire, in a sense, as the series went on. And then at the end, you find out that he does end up, you know, eventually with her. Well, you know,
the Robin?
Yes.
Weird storyline.
Even after he finds, you know, his girl that he's been looking for, you know, that entire series where you just
Christina
get
Miliani, right?
Little pieces of her.
And she dies.
Yeah.
What a...
whatever.
And...
I love that show.
Yeah.
I love that show. Don't get me wrong. How I Met Your Mother is like one of my top, like,
so great.
Like, just comfort to put on in the background and just watch it.
It's a good show. It's a good.
But that ending.
I didn't mind the ending.
So fucking pissed.
But I was just, after the whole Halloween episodes and all that stuff, you know, from the very beginning, I was like, it took this long.
Yeah.
That shit kind of killed me. That and the other famous TV show one, the Ross and Rachel and all that stuff.
Of course, Friends.
Oh,
how many of us have them?
But one of the best ones is from Scrubs.
Ones we can depend on.
JD and Turk.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
I modeled my whole relationship with Jermaine after that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When are you guys gonna do phone commercials?
If you're not in there as fucking, what's his name?
The weird guy?
Aquaman. If you're not in there fucking singing and dancing with this, have you seen these commercials?
Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah.
He's in them, like, just randomly.
Which Aquaman?
The
Momoa?
Momoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Total brain fart. I cannot think of his name. But like, he just, like, I'm watching it. I enjoyed the commercials. And like, oh, look him up online. And then all of a sudden, Jason Momoa comes out and he's like flipping and dancing and singing shit. I'm like, oh,
so silly.
That is so weird. Cool. Mm.
That's one of the
slap a wig on you.
That's the only
little lipstick. Some
rouge. Really, like, the only relationship past the show's ending that has continued in the fucking in commercials.
Well, if you listen to their podcast, because they do like a rewatch podcast, yeah. Like, it's crazy how that friendship has lasted,
yeah,
like the 20 odd years since they've done that show.
Same them and the cast of New Girl. They also hang out and do podcasts and shit together.
Oh, you had asked about controversial.
Yeah, throw them at me.
Right here, fucking in. Padme and Anakin in episode one.
Yeah.
When Anakin was like a little boy.
Episode one. Hold on.
You're an angel.
Hold on. Yeah, we know he was putting down game in that, and it's so creepy.
Absolutely. It's so, I mean, I get it. Like, obviously, like, the age difference probably wasn't much, but, like, you know, puberty hadn't happened to one of them at that point, so it was such a weird thing. It's like they really should have just made him a little bit older in that first episode.
Like, they
or totally... her younger, and but not played into the relationship thing. Because
he was, what, like, 9 years old, and she was, like, 15?
It was like 10 and 14 or something like that.
At that age, it's that difference is so weird.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge difference.
Ugh.
Like, they totally could have played that as like a cute crush as opposed to like, are you an angel? Like, bro.
Yeah.
Calm down that Riz. This is not happening. Exactly. But like, stop it.
Was it Anakin Riz or was it the Force Riz?
The Force could have been
took
like
over him.
Yeah,
like, hey,
giving him that.
You better get this chick.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. It was a midichlorian in my bloodstream.
Yeah, and then it was like in episode two when he was like older, and then like Padme sees him, was like, oh, you've grown up. So she was dropping the, like, yeah,
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
My, have you grown?
Yeah, everything about that.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's and then she died because she was sad.
And she was against him.
Obi-Wan chopped his legs off, and she was sad that he would never have leverage like that again.
You just mentioned The Notebook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but not as. I don't know.
The. Oh, you're dead. Now I'm sad.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, heartbreak.
Yeah.
That shit does really happen, though.
You know who should have died of sadness?
Yeah. Conan O'Brien's parents died a couple parts from each other.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Go into that.
You know who should have died of sadness? Rogue. After fucking...
Oh, Gambit.
After Gambit dies.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Man.
Jesus. That was that such relationship.
She's like, well, guess I'm hooking up with Magneto.
I had absolutely no idea that they revealed her name in the comics. Like, I was like, okay, Rogue. Rogue forever.
Hmm.
No, her name is Anna Marie.
Oh.
No last name. Just Anna Marie.
Right on.
They reveal that in the movies, right?
Anna Marie LeBeau now, because in the comics they're married. Mm.
Finally. That was one that was, boy, the journey.
Do you see them people, speaking of Rogue, see people fan casting Kiki Palmer as Rogue?
No.
Oh yeah, it was a while ago.
I have one for you, Isaac, and it's sort of an annoying one.
I'm the right guy to tell it to,
but it is sweet a little bit.
Okay,
Amelia and Rory, from Doctor Who, the
11, oh my god,
the 11 Doctor's companions. Because when he first
the parents of River Song,
yeah, when he first comes on the scene, and like, okay, total creep. It's gonna sound like a total creep thing, but when he like first transforms or regenerates, and he meets Amelia Pond as she's a little girl, and he says, "Oh, I'll be back tomorrow," and he does his thing, whatever, and comes back, and she's like an adult,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, adult Amelia is trying to like bang the Doctor.
She was, wasn't she?
On the night before she's supposed to get married to Rory.
Fucking redheads.
Like that starts that whole storyline.
That would be considered a love triangle.
That, yeah. It's a little weird.
But then Rory's like, oh yeah? You got two hearts and two dicks? I'm what the hell was he? The Centurion or whatever?
Yeah. What was he, Klingon?
Do they have two dicks?
Two hearts, two dicks.
That's cool. Their whole story was weird. Like she gets famous, becomes a model, and he doesn't. And then like their whole relationship is strained, and then they break up or whatever. And then that whole thing with the cube, the Pandora, or whatever that was called.
You know, I am mad at that because he had a really fight for her. Yeah. She's like, yeah, all right, I guess you're okay.
Yeah.
She sucks.
Yes.
Love Karen Gillan, though.
Yes. But her character in that shit was a shitty girlfriend.
Yeah, she was.
Huh. Even though she redeemed herself at the end. Hmm.
Didn't they die together?
Because they ended up together, so they lived their whole lives together. But at the end, so the weeping angels, the statues that you can't, like if you're not looking at them, they can move, but you look at them, they stop.
Classic video game.
Like, stop it.
So stupid.
That's perfect.
And if they touch you, they send you back in time.
Oh.
Is that what happens?
Yes. So.
Man, it's been a while, dude.
So one of them sneaks up on Rory, hits him with the time zap, and sends him to a place that the Doctor can't travel to.
One would say a time warp.
Whatever. They send him to like a fixed point in time that he can't change and he can't even approach, like in the TARDIS, like he can't make that landing. So there's no way to get him out of there. Mm. And so the only way for her to join him there is to hit the Weeping Angel and join him, like she zaps him too. And it's a really sad story, but sweet, because they're standing in a graveyard when it happens. And then when she hits both of them, the grave he's standing in front of pops up with both of their names. Like, because they were zapped back in time. Yeah. They lived their life, you know, grew old and died. And that was their recipe. But he couldn't see them anymore because that whole point of their lives was in a fixed point that he couldn't access.
Wow.
But like, she sacrificed that, like all that, you know, being able to go anywhere and do anything with the Doctor. Like, no, my boy's in this point, and I'm going with him. And that's, it was like, cool. Like 1950s.
You're gonna cry.
New York or Chicago or something. No.
Me neither.
That's cool. I mean, that
it was a really good ending, but the whole start of that story, I was like, she's kind of a,
yeah,
she's kind of a dick.
You've never seen any Doctor Who?
No.
I'm kind of surprised at that. I know there's a lot of stuff to check.
There's a lot of stuff, yeah. To consume, I play games while I was alive.
It's sci-fi, but it's British sci-fi, so you gotta really have to dig into it.
Yeah, you got to hate yourself a little bit.
I do.
So you haven't been watching it, huh?
No, I know. Surprisingly, I know, right? Yeah.
Set me right up for that, motherfucker. Yeah.
Speaking of Karen Gillan?
Gillan?
Gillan? Yeah.
Gillan?
Galaxy, or Guardians of the Galaxy, yes. Star-Lord, and Gamora.
Mm. Yeah.
Was that a relationship that we all bought into? Did we feel it when she eventually rejected him as time-lost Gamora?
I liked their relationship going up to that, and then she died, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then they brought her back as, you know, part of the Thanos time loss crew. I'm not mad that they didn't get back together because that's a totally different person with a totally different experience.
Yeah, been really easy and cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move to not.
Yeah, but it was really sad to me.
But that moment when Nebula, when Quill is describing Gamora, and then she's like, you're just describing her. No, I'm not.
Just he looks
oogling at her.
Yeah.
Stop it. I never noticed your eyes are that dark.
My father plucked them out. He gave me these artificial ones. He gave you a really pretty shade of black.
Yeah. One of the funniest moments of that entire movie. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally not bang.
Can I jump into my dick love?
Oh, yeah.
Dick Grayson.
Okay.
Oh. So this is another one, because Dick Grayson has loved up on every female character in the DC universe.
You like say he earned his name.
Yeah.
He's had relationships with a ton of people.
Which is part of the aspect that makes Dick Grayson such a great character is that he has grown from Robin into Nightwing, into Batman for a little bit, and back into Nightwing, and he's grown and gone through all these different relationships. Sorry, go ahead.
But not only that, but like he's even the breakups, like he remains on good terms with all of these women. Like he's a genuinely good guy.
Yeah, yeah. With a fucking fine ass.
The best ass.
Yeah.
Where is he?
But it's the big two.
He's up there.
Oh, he's up there.
Watching us.
The big two, Starfire and then Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. And I love Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon together. That's my favorite. That's the one that should stand the test of time. The only thing that keeps me going back to Starfire is because the ship name, Dickfire.
I was going to like Nightfire, Starwing. No, Dickfire. Hell yeah.
I love that. I can't get away from it.
Yeah.
It drags me back every time. Like, no, he belongs with Barbara Gordon. No, Dickfire. Dickfire is a thing. Yes.
Hey, see a doctor about that. I was laughing.
Well, I always meant to ask you.
It does.
This is an anime
it does
one, burn. But how did you feel about like Naruto and Sasuke and... God, what's her name?
Again? Sakura.
Yeah. Like, they, do you feel that's almost like on the Harry Potter level?
No, because they built her going into that to be infatuated with Sasuke, and she kept that all the way into adulthood, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. No, like, that whole story played out, like, really well. Like, the girl he ended up with.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mind.
Kanata, like, that whole... The whole relationship, like, he's the dumb one. Like, he's the dumb hero. Like, he just blunders his way to the right thing. Mm-hmm. And he blundered his way into that relationship. Like, he just, like, she's so infatuated with him growing up. And then, like, he just, one day he was like, oh, shit, I love her. No, come back. And then, like, that's the whole story.
Right.
I was like, ugh. I wish it was that easy.
That's funny.
Sometimes.
Going back to Nightwing, though. So I was thinking about that, too, because I read a lot of Nightwing comics, and it was always that back and forth. Obviously, I think the cartoons played a little bit more with Starfire, probably because they didn't have the rights to Batgirl or whatever. And then the comics, of course, played with Babs, Barbara Gordon. And my only complaint about that is, like, I feel like that was, for the most part, all just extra stuff. Like, I can't remember too many comics or stories where, like, that relationship actually kind of affected the story too much, other than, like, they did a couple, like, cute, like, Nightwing and Batgirl going on patrol together or whatever. But it was certainly just kind of extra stuff. But it kind of fit because they're all young characters and all of that. But I don't know. It's always been such a huge part of his story is, like, kind of who's Nightwing dating. But it's also like so unimportant also at the same time, which is kind of weird to me, I think.
I think it's unimportant because they keep his overall tone light, as opposed to like if it's Batman sees someone, like, holy shit, who's Batman seeing? Oh my God, this has Gotham shaking ramifications for every, you know, for everyone. Yeah.
True, true.
That being said, I ship Catwoman and Batman.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
All right. They were like married or something.
Yeah. They got married. I hate that parent.
Why?
Oh, I hate it so much. Selina Kyle is just an asshole.
Yeah. That's hot.
I mean, I know Batman's an asshole too, and that's what I love about him, but I think he needs like someone
who can take control of him.
Yes, and that's why Batman and Wonder Woman is my go-to.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
Batman and Wonder Woman.
Batman and Diana.
They played with it.
The comics that they played with that pairing in, superb. Mm. The storyline, superb.
Yeah.
Catwoman, just a crook.
I guess I have nothing to go on. You guys have like the vast nerd knowledge. I'm like, Selina, I don't know.
So Selina Kyle was sexy and she could fucking whip the shit out of you with an actual whip.
Oh yeah, keep going.
And that's fine.
We're still filming.
But Diana is a literal demigod, so shut the hell up.
I think from like if you were telling a short single story, Catwoman being this kind of cat burglar, and obviously Batman being this vigilante, like there's a story you could tell there.
It's that cat and mouse game, literally.
Yeah.
Bat and mouse.
But there's not, once you tell it, there's not a lot of ways to twist it, right? Like once they either come to terms with it, and they've done it where it's like she eventually crosses a line, then Batman gets mad, and eventually I think the Wonder Woman story, there's a lot more to tell because there's more dimensions to Wonder Woman than there is Selina Kyle.
I will give that pairing though one thing. When Batman proposed to Catwoman, he did it with a diamond ring that he had made from the first thing she stole that he collared her for. Like I guess all the way back then he turned around and bought, like once he returned the loot, he bought that ring and just held on to it.
What?
Or he bought that diamond and held on to it. Sweet. And then all those years later, like he had it made into a ring.
Yeah.
But I want to hear about.
I just want you to know I've been jerking it to you this whole time. I don't know how proposals work. I don't have a girlfriend.
My parents were killed when I was young. This is how it's done.
So you throw that ring in the fire, Batman.
But here's this pearl necklace.
See, but
when I was an actual pearl necklace.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, the new PG-13 hype attack. Can you please?
Hey, jizz is on her chest. I want to hear more details.
My freaking ears.
I want to hear more details about like Batman and Diana.
Oh, I'll make you a video or something because I don't have an hour to go into.
Well, I mean, if you could sum up Harry Potter, motherfucker, you can give me some footnotes.
He summed up Harry Potter.
Can somebody give me some footnotes on like why the dynamic worked?
Because it does.
I don't know. They're both a little hard-headed, competitive.
Within the animated series, they played with, you know, with it, you know, with Diana and Batman. But it's just one of those things, you know. Batman is not like that typical guy. So when you have somebody like Diana, who's, you know, as strong as Superman, that's in that caliber. Batman is running around with gods, and he's a man, and he's handling business. Mm. So when you have a Amazon, you know, warrior that, you know, she fights and gets down, she's going to be attracted to somebody like Batman. Mm. Like, it's just one of those, like, he is the total opposite of somebody who you think that she would be. You know, they've also played around with Superman and Wonder Woman. Mm. A lot of people, that powerhouse.
Yeah.
He doesn't need, you know, a kryptonite, you know, condom or, you know, like her womb, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But it's not a storm or lightning. It's Superman and Wonder Woman fucking.
The back of her skull could take the shotgun blast.
It's almost like a distorted mirror of Lois and Superman. Mm. But, you know, not saying that Batman is Lois, but he's more than capable to handle himself. So like, I'm just saying, so for a person like Diana, when you see something like that, you know, like she's just attracted to who he is, you know, and the relationship between them, you know, just Fleurs.
Just it's just like Doug said, like their relationship dynamic is so much more depth to it, I think, than Bruce and Selena.
Looking forward to the video summary.
Oh no, I'm not gonna make it. Like I've watched these videos. I will link you to them.
Yeah, this is where like the Batman summary. Stories are so interesting and in a way maybe hard. Because
tell me more.
Fucking knew it. I feel like you could have great Batman stories that are just Gotham, and I think I've seen some people even arguing recently how like Batman should have never joined the DCU. Because there's such great stories to tell within Gotham, within the more grounded universe and all the psychics and all the villains. And so it's like, I feel like in that world, in the world of Gotham, Selina Kyle makes sense. Mm. But once you actually put Batman into the larger DCU, then Wonder Woman, makes a lot more sense.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just likes being tied up. And he's so used to lying that lasso of truth, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's one of Nightwing's official fetishes. Being tied up. Nice. Because he's been tied up so many times.
Yeah.
PG-13.
As Robin. There was no cussing. Yeah.
Yeah. They like to get tied up for playtime.
on the railroad for fuck track.
Times.
Yeah. It gives her a pearl necklace.
Literally a pearl necklace. I don't know what you were thinking.
Jizz.
Oh, you were thinking like jizz across. Yeah. Yeah.
Leather's easy to wipe jizz off.
All right.
You say pearl necklace.
You guys.
You've reached your limit on talking. Shut the fuck up.
That's enough.
All right. We're getting close to wrapping it up. I will say, I mean, generally, realistically, part of the story, and it's not something that has been covered too much in any of the shows or the movies, would be Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Their whole story of...
Oh, reincarnation.
Like, constantly being reincarnated, only to, like, find each other, fall in love, and then die again. That's only. Great.
I don't follow those characters as much, so is that the official
That's the Hawkman, latest, Hawkgirl? Newest one that has stuck around for the long time. They've done all sorts of stuff.
Because isn't Hawkgirl, like, a Thanagarian, like, alien race or something like that?
They at one point, I think they both were, and then I think not, but they get their technology from them or something. You have to look it up. It's so convoluted, but I'm pretty sure like the last official one, I mean, I haven't read any of their comics in a while, is that whole idea of constantly reincarnating only to find love and then die again.
I'm just going off of the DC animated series where she's an alien.
Yeah.
Like I haven't really read any of the stories, but I have come across that storyline where they're, you know, reincarnated, blah, blah, blah.
I've always like their characters are always pretty interesting. Like the DC animated stuff had her for a while. Then Black Adam had a Hawkman, which I thought that was a pretty good iteration. And then James Gunn's going to have Isabella Merced as Hawkgirl. So we'll see. Maybe they'll play with it more. Who knows? Anyway.
But I mean, lastly, as far as a couple where love persevered, no matter what happened, and even though this person, you know, hit his lowest lows, lost a hand, traveled through all the way, had this redemption story, Cersei and Jaime Lannister.
Jackass. Yeah.
I absolutely regret giving you his name.
Cersei and Jaime Lannister. Jaime Lannister.
I mean, for all the ick that coupling, you know, was about, they were a couple that was absolutely committed to each other.
For those who don't know, they were brother and sister in the Game of Thrones.
Yes, but apparently that's a thing in the Game of Thrones verse. So,
oh god, yeah, and the House of Dragon, right? They also did a little of that.
Yeah, you got to keep the bloodline strong. You got to keep it pure. And...
Wow.
What? Oh, sorry, blacked out for a second. That's another great
deformities and
when pigment challenge people like you say that, it gets really concerning.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't say it. You're right. But that is a good example of a relationship that obviously shaped that entire story, right? Because if Bran didn't see them bang-a-langing doggy style on that tower in that first episode, I mean, like, who knows? Everything might have been cool and copacetic, but so a great
doing it
As Star Wars moved into the further.
Yeah, but a great example of how obviously like a relationship can actually shape like a great story.
What if Brand never fell out of that window and he was just into that sort of thing? So he like wogs into like a fucking a rat and just sitting in the corner watching them go at it. It's called wogging.
They should have done that. Remember that shit. Like, you know, he actually warging. Did fall and went through it and got, like, became the three-eyed raven, and you're thinking he's going to go save the world, but he just uses his power to go back and watch them. I never got to finish. I never got to see him finish.
And now I can't feel my dick.
I can finally go watch it, but I can't do anything about it.
Just sitting in the corner, hitting himself with the bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, shame me some more, and I'll finish.
Yeah. Hold on, show me that giant.
God damn it. This is what happens. You put four of us in a fucking room.
Jermaine, yeah, we went so long.
You want to follow that with anything?
Nope.
You don't got any more?
Nah.
No, going down my list, I hit all the main points I wanted to hit. Except for Scott Summers and Jean Grey, but I mean, what can you say about the highest powered couple in Marvel Universe? I qualified that shit. The Marvel Universe. I didn't step on Superman's toes. I saw that look.
They're the it couple.
I said the power couple.
Who are the power couples of the Marvel Universe?
Scott Summers and Jean Grey. Scott Summers and Emma Frost.
I would definitely say
yes.
Mr. Fantastic and.
I was about to say we just saw the trailer and everything for Fantastic Four. Blah, blah,
blah. Reed Richards and Susan Storm.
Yeah. They're now. Their child that they have, he's a motherfucking powerhouse.
Franklin Richards?
Yeah, that's...
He's technically a mutant, right?
I don't know officially if he's classed as a mutant.
I swear they classed him as a mutant because he had like reality-altering powers.
But, yeah, like he...
Yeah, I can see it. Because like the Solar Storm... mutated them to become the Fantastic Four, and then now their DNA is all mutated freaks. I'm sorry, it's coming out again. And then now, so then their kids are going to be mutants.
Just as long as this hand is not palmed down and above your eyeline, we're good.
Yeah, I've learned.
Don't to straighten that elbow, man.
All right, well, this was a fun warm up. Jumping off point into season 3.
We're canceled.
No, we have to have sponsors. Cancel.
Yeah. You can't cancel me if I'm self-publishing. God damn it.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
You gotta hit that button, though.
No, I can't.
Speaking of buttons, are we recording?
Yes.
Red light on?
Okay. We're recording. Not really. I checked that at least 10 times when we started.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just the dread that I have of looking down and seeing that not on after like half an hour into it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Even the hype attack are human. Is that a place as good as any?
Yeah.
To put a button on it and wrap it up and tell you to visit us on Instagram and TikTok at the Hype Attack. The Hype Attack.
Yeah. Jesus, I'm even though it's been a little desert of content lately, we are going to ramp up at season 3. Mm. And I promise this time it's really going to happen. We're gonna start putting videos into the channel. We're going to start doing a little bit more with that as opposed to just the video podcast and audio podcast that we've been putting out.
Yeah.
And if you're just listening to this and didn't realize that you can also see our dumbasses, you can visit youtube.com/thehypeattackpodcast.
At the Hype Attack Podcast.
Yeah, the Hype Attack Podcast. And if you want to see more of those videos and everything in our Instagram, you know what really helps? Commenting and messaging us and responding to polls and everything. It helps motivate us to actually give a shit. So please,
I need dialogue.
I do.
There's like two people who regularly comment on our videos, and we love you for it. Mosier and who I don't forget. I'm sorry, I forget the other guy.
Like Rob.
Sure. And shout like out. I love like popping it into YouTube and seeing those that little notification going out. Like, oh, like someone's interacting. So hopefully we'll we'll pick that up across Instagram and YouTube. TikTok, I don't like TikTok, so
yeah, I'm not on TikTok. Who's running our TikTok?
Someone else will run that.
We're both
okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah. So we can split up. You do YouTube, I do Instagram. You guys do TikTok. Then we fight over who's got the most interaction.
TikTok's shaft is pretty big right now, so I think it needs four hands. Four hands on deck.
Like, share, and follow.
Yeah.
Till next time, same hype time, same hype channel.